The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. Hopefully you had a nice weekend, a special Father's Day for all of you fathers. I had a big Father's Day workout and softball game thereafter, so I'm a little bit sore today, but I can sit and enjoy the comfort of this studio and broadcast the truth of God. That's what we're here for. Speaking of the broadcast, the TV broadcast, that is, we had the Spirit of a Sound Mind play in the UK over the weekend. That brought in 166 requests for, I believe, the What Science Can't Discover About the Human Mind, and then also The Incredible Human Potential. So we haven't advertised IHP in quite a while, so it's good to see that literature getting out in the UK. Here in the US and around the world, my father's program, How Lincoln Won the Civil War. Excellent program. If you didn't see that, hopefully you can catch up on that as the week unfolds here. But yeah, as I was watching it Saturday morning with my son, I just mentioned how strong the message is and how that you just don't hear it. You don't hear it. You don't hear it on the news channels. You don't hear it anywhere on television. The solution, quoting Abraham Lincoln, saying how that this civil war is upon us because of our sins. Who says that today? You don't hear it anywhere. We've brought this upon ourselves. And my father's made the point more recently about the civil war that we're now entering into as being one where both sides lose. We're both going to lose. Both sides in the United States. And you see those sides, they're really digging in their heels. President Trump had his big rally in Tulsa on Saturday night. I saw some of those empty seats up in the upper deck. I was surprised by that and thought, boy, we could have actually gone to a rally and seen a president of the United States. I'll talk more about some of the numbers there and the message that the president brought to the people of Oklahoma. First, let me just start with a couple of comments from our listeners. This coming in from Facebook. It says, I'm sincerely grateful for the articles and YouTube videos that you so generously share. I'm amazed at how much joy your teachings bring to me, as I have found so very few as wise, as open, as generous, and as inspired by the Holy Spirit as you demonstrate. He goes on to talk about some of the other religious groups that he follows. And he says here, however, I find myself delighting in your daily teachings and experiencing a most enriching theological contemplation under your tutelage. I just want to offer my sincerest gratitude for your bold, wise, and faithful service in Christ and to the Word of God. One more here coming in from one of our listeners in Alaska. And he writes, I love listening to the Trumpet Daily. It's so exciting to get God's perspective on today's current events. I've had so many instances where someone at work has asked me about my opinion on a topic in the news, and I've been able to clearly articulate the right answer because you so clearly articulate God's point of view on the matter so quickly after news breaks. Anytime I see something big happen in the news, I'm so excited to hear what you have to say about it. The only bad part is when something happens on a Friday and I have to wait until Monday to hear from you. I know sometimes when we're done with the show over at Edstone and just that's 2 p.m. in the afternoon on Friday. And then you do see some of the U.S. news in particular that rolls through the afternoon. And I find myself thinking the same thing. Oh, I wish we had another half hour to discuss some of the news from the end of the week, but we just have to wait until the Monday show rolls around. But it says here, the only bad part is when something happens on Friday and I have to wait till Monday to hear from you. Wish you could be on every day, but I understand you have a life too. I'm more than happy with the current setup. Can't wait, it says here. Can't wait to hear your Monday show. And so here we are. The day after Father's Day, Rick Santorum, by the way, he had an article on Father's Day yesterday, where he said that from 1970 to 2012, the percentage of households consisting of a married couple with children dropped by 50%. In other words, the family has fallen apart over the past two, three generations. And this is prophesied in your Bible, Isaiah chapter 3 and elsewhere. But how much of the chaos and the violence sweeping across America is directly attributed to this curse, the curse of fatherlessness, the broken home? Mr. Armstrong said it was a greater threat to our society than the hydrogen bomb. Now, when he said that back in the 60s, people must have just scoffed at him. How could this be a greater threat? Divorce and the family breaking down. How could that be a greater threat than an actual nuclear weapon? And well, look at our society today and look at where it's leading. All of this chaos and violence on the streets of the United States of America. Our cities are imploding. And there's no bombs falling from the heavens. Our cities are filled with violence. Fox News reported on the violence in Chicago just over the weekend. This is Father's Day weekend. Chicago recorded at least 11 killed and 67 wounded during an outbreak of violence. 67 wounded just this weekend, and 11 people killed. And most of these are African American. Most of these are black people. It says here the deaths included a 3-year-old and a 13-year-old girl. The teenage girl was home Saturday night when she was struck in the neck from the shot fired from outside. So a drive-by shooting. This 11-year-old girl at home in her living room. And she shot in the neck and is pronounced dead later at the hospital. Can you imagine living in a city so violent that even if you're sitting in even if you're under house arrest, even if you're in lockdown, the bullets, they may still track you down. It did in this case. An 11-year-old girl, does her life matter? Has this triggered nationwide protests? What about the 3-year-old? Does the Black Lives Matter movement, do they even care? Do they even comment on this? 8 of those people who were shot this weekend in Chicago were teenagers. Here we've got teenagers coming into our camp in 2 weeks. From all over the world, mostly, I guess, this year from North America because of the travel restrictions. Teenagers coming in, driving in, hours and hours, flying in from great distances to experience God's youth camp. And in Chicago, well, what a contrast. I made this point last week several times. What a contrast when you look at the world today and you compare it with the world of tomorrow. And of course, we have that world of tomorrow in embryo, right here, right now in this church. But even with respect to these campuses, Edmond and Edstone, so peaceful, so beautiful, so much unity and harmony. And yet the walls are closing in. How much longer? This is Chicago. Chicago's just 12 hours drive from here. This is the United States of America. 3-year-olds, 11-year-olds being shot dead. That's just this weekend. Happy Father's Day. 8 of those shot were teenagers. Well, that's Chicago. Chaz Chop, Choppity Chaz Chaz, they had their first murder. They had another shooting last night. Another one wounded the other day. Police are looking for the murderer there. A teenager gunned down, 19 years old. living it up in Chaz. Well, this is a Marxist utopia, right? And the Washington Post coverage of this is just disgraceful. The incident, it says, has sparked a debate about whether the six-block protest, it's an incident, mind you, which has occupied the streets around an abandoned Seattle police precinct since June 8th, whether it can manage public safety concerns such as an active shooter situation and how police can respond to the area, formerly called the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone, or CHAZ. The Washington Post says, before the shooting had occurred, Trump and other conservatives, without proof, said the zone is dangerous and lawless. So Trump is the problem. Trump and conservatives have no proof. Here you have these reporters who are secretively getting into CHAZ to send out some video of the violence, risking their lives to just tweet out a 30-second clip. And all of these Columbia grads at the Washington Post headquarters saying that the problem here is that conservatives, without proof, there's no proof that it's dangerous. There's no proof that it's lawless. Here they're writing this after Chaz's first murder. Six blocks. They've been in existence, what did it say, June 8th? So here we are today on June 22nd. So they've been there ruling that area for 2 weeks. Their first murder in just 2 weeks. Here's the Washington Post. The occupants have remained mostly peaceful over the past 2 weeks. So here we go again. Even as the cities go up in flames, here come the reporters with smoke billowing behind them, saying, you know, this is mostly peaceful. It's bringing people together. Nancy Pelosi said it was heartwarming. Here's the Washington Post saying it's been mostly peaceful at CHAZ. Shooting, a murder Friday night, more shooting last night. Thugs carrying around AR-15s, controlling the streets. Police are gone. They're nowhere to be seen. I think when the ambulance showed up to pick up the victim, they were waiting outside of CHAZ, waiting for police support. Can't even get in there quickly. 911 calls, it takes three times as much time before police can respond in Seattle now. Because they just don't have the support. They don't have the help. They had to shut down this precinct. They're understaffed. So what do we need to do? Well, defund them and get rid of them, of course. That's what people are calling for. And then what's happening to our cities? Do they really care about then? Most people living in these cities are minorities. Do these lives matter? Fox says here, Minneapolis, the city at the center of the national outrage over Floyd's death, recorded one death and 11 injured in the uptown section of the city early Sunday morning. Fox 9 reported that it's believed suspects opened fire as patrons waited to get inside a restaurant. So 11 people shot in Minneapolis. The New York Post reported Monday that there was one shooting in the city. This is New York now. One shooting in the city per hour on Saturday, and cited a police chief who told the paper that defendants arrested for gun possession have been allowed to skip jail during the coronavirus pandemic. The paper reported that 24 people were shot citywide on Saturday alone. This is New York City over the weekend. Happy Father's Day. Another article here, this is the Post. Shootings are surging this week in New York City, with 28 incidents and 38 victims reported since Monday. This is from a couple days ago, so it's reporting on last week. It says, the day the NYPD disbanded its plainclothes anti-crime unit, the Post learned on Friday. By comparison, the same week last year, there were only 12 shootings for the entire week. Last week, 28 shootings. Last year, same week, 12 shootings. And this coincides with the NYPD announcing, hey, we're getting rid of the anti-crime unit, the plainclothes cops, because these are the ones that can kind of get in there in the civilian populace and figure out what's going on and figure out where the crime's going to go down. But we've got to get rid of that unit. And crime goes up and crime skyrockets. This was Heather McDonald. She's the one that's talked about the war on police. She was on Fox just the other day, clip 25.
What's happening to the police in this country, Tammy, is tragic and outrageous. They are living under the effects of a lie. All of them are being painted as racist, systemically racist. The reality is we don't have a policing problem in this country. We have a crime problem. The police are in the neighborhoods that they are because that's where people are being victimized. That's where the drive-by shootings are occurring. That's where the children are being shot in their homes, in their backyards. The police don't wish that reality. It's forced upon them. The rest of the country turns its eyes away from them. The cops are understandably and incredibly demoralized. No other profession lives under the burden of this hatred. And what they're experiencing in the streets now when they try to make an arrest, people are interfering, they're throwing things at them, they're cursing at them. It is completely understandable that they're backing off because they're being told that it is racist to try to protect lives in minority communities.
Yeah. It's not a policing problem, she says. It's a crime problem. And crime gets worse when you handcuff the police. Crime gets worse when you disband the police. Crime worsens when you defund the police. Three times as long the police are taking to respond to a 911 call in Seattle. And then right at the peak of all that rioting, you had a lot of 911 calls where the callers just hung up. They were furious. Where are the police? They kept asking. My store is being burned down. My store is being ransacked. The police weren't responding. Stand down. Well, we had one respond here yesterday, which was refreshing. The Logan County Sheriff, one of our workers in the kitchen inadvertently dialed 911. And then immediately said, oh, I made a mistake, called back, tried to set it straight. And anyway, minutes later, the Logan County Sheriff shows up in the field house, the gymnasium, where we were doing our little Father's Day workout. And he said that he got a call, that he knew it was a mistake, but that they have to respond to it anyway. So he was carrying out his responsibility, even though he knew it wasn't a serious threat. So we congratulated him, and we thanked him for his service, by the way. And one of the members there in the gym said, you don't get enough appreciation, certainly not in the nation right now. And he agreed with it. He said, I know. He's probably grateful that he's in Logan County, where there's a little more support for law enforcement than there would be in Minneapolis or Chicago. Or Chaz, or New York City. What a movement. And you know who's behind it? Black Lives Matter. They were talking about this 4 years ago. We wrote about it in the Trumpet. Let's get rid of the police. And then they're of course, the movement. They're behind the movement to pull down all the statues as well. And as you can obviously see now, this is not about Robert E. Lee. It's not about Stonewall Jackson. This is about the founding fathers of the United States. This is about the Constitution of the United States. This is about the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights. That's the real target here. Yesterday, New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio, he announced that the American Museum of Natural History, this is one of the most famous museums in the world. It has this glorious statue of Teddy Roosevelt. Yes, Teddy Roosevelt, President of the United States in the early 1900s. De Blasio said, you know what? We're going to have to remove that statue. We're going to have to take it down. So you've got the mobs that are out there just pulling them down all over the place. And now you've got city officials announcing, we're going to take them down ourselves as well. They're right in step with the mob. You saw it 3 weeks ago with the rioting. De Blasio said this, the American Museum of Natural History has asked to remove the Theodore Roosevelt statue because it explicitly depicts black and indigenous people as subjugated and racially inferior. And so the city supports the museum's request. Now, the museum came out and said, look, we don't object to Roosevelt. It's just the way that the minorities are depicted in the scene. So we've got to get rid of it. The New York Times, for its part, said the equestrian memorial to Theodore Roosevelt has long prompted objections as a symbol of colonialism and racism. I mean, this has been a problem for a long time. The New York Times, the Washington Post, they're right out front. The Times is leading the way. Get rid of the TR statue. The Washington Post is leading the way. Hey, Chaz Chop, they're doing great. Well, there's been one murder and other shootings, but look, they've been around 2 weeks. It's mostly peaceful. This is what Teddy Roosevelt told the builders of the Panama Canal. He said, from time to time, little men will come along to find fault with what you have done. They will go down the stream like bubbles. They will vanish. But the work you have done will remain for the ages. A wonderful quote, but now you have to wonder, will the work remain? And will these critics who find fault with every single historical figure, are they going away? It sure doesn't look like it. They're taking to the streets. They're erasing history. They're changing culture. They're setting up what they think is a Marxist utopia. My father wrote an article back in 2000. This is 20 years old. The Rise and Fall of a Superpower. And he talked a lot in that article about Theodore Roosevelt and the spirit behind America and what made America great to begin with. My father said, a lot of it has to do with history. How much do Americans understand their own history? We're called the world's greatest superpower ever, but how did we rise to such heights? Most Americans are ignorant of how it all happened, and that ignorance places us in grave danger. That's right. How much does Mayor de Blasio understand this history? So much ignorance. My father said in that piece, our building and now surrendering of the Panama Canal reveals a large part of the story. This was back in 2000, where we just handed over the Panama Canal. A few years before that, it was Great Britain handing over Hong Kong. Well, this is just going to be great for the future of Great Britain and America, right? That's not what you heard at the trumpet. You know that. It says, President Theodore Roosevelt led our people to build the Panama Canal. He had a spirit and courage that I don't see in our leaders today. You don't see it in Mayor de Blasio. You don't see it in the mayor of Seattle. You don't see it in Washington's governor. And on and on and on we could go. The Minneapolis mayor, the governor of Minnesota. You just don't see that same spirit. Our leaders are ashamed to provide the leadership that a great nation should. What a dramatic change from Roosevelt's administration. This change portends a grave danger for the United States. That was the trumpet forecast 20 years ago. 20 years ago. My father said something horrifying has happened to the United States. Yes, indeed. It is horrifying. There's no leadership. God's taken it away. Isaiah 3, 1 and 2. Notice this point my father made. He says, was Roosevelt a warmonger? While he was president, the U.S. didn't have to fire one pistol. America was at peace. Do you know why? Because the whole world knew. They knew he and America were prepared for war and had the will to fight. I read that this morning and wondered, what would Theodore Roosevelt do with these rioters? Tearing down statues of Ulysses S. Grant, of all things, fought for the North, fought for the freedom of black people, fought to end slavery, crushed the KKK, and they're pulling him down. Is this about George Floyd? Is this really about racism? Of course it isn't. What would he do, though? How would Theodore Roosevelt handle Chaz? What would he do if these Marxist revolutionaries took over an American city or part of it? You think Theodore Roosevelt would have just sat back and said, well, you know what? I guess let them have what they want. Well, you know what? Let them pull down the statues. Well, let's just let them pull down. It's just Stonewall Jackson. It'll stop after that, right? This has nothing to do with racism. It has nothing to do with racism. Chaz has nothing to do with racism. This is anarchy. This is anarchy through and through. Here's a scene from Washington, D.C. on Friday night, clip two. That's a statue of Albert Pike. He was an officer for the Confederates. He had to come down, and the mob went crazy. Oh, they're just celebrating. I bet half the mob didn't even know who it was, who it represented. But just get in there and pull it down. Let's destroy it. This was from San Francisco, also Friday night, clip three. I think that's the Ulysses S. Grant one. If it wasn't, that happened too in San Francisco. Ulysses S. Grant, who helped to eradicate slavery, the institution of slavery from the United States, and as I say, crush the KKK. This is the one I mentioned this, I think, briefly on Friday's show. The scene in Portland, pulling down George Washington. Clip four. We had to blur out some of the profanity. But curse white men, one of them wrote. Defund white men. Not just the police. Defund the whites. This is what justice for George looks like. It means George Washington comes down. The founder of the United States of America. The first president. This statement's from Douglas Bradburn. He's the president and CEO of George Washington's Mount Vernon. You wonder how much longer these estates are going to be around. Mount Vernon, Monticello, Montpelier. But here's the president of Mount Vernon. He says, without George Washington, this is a great statement. But you wonder after reading this, how much longer this president's going to be around in that position. Without George Washington, there would be no United States of America, there would be no constitution which allows the freedom of speech, assembly, and protest, as well as the separation of church from state. And without Washington, we would not have civilian-led military. He added, if we fail to honor George Washington because we understand him only as a slave owner, we will lose the story of the United States, for it will have no beginning and very little direction. That's what we're losing. We're losing the story of the United States. All of those programs, all of those articles at the Trumpet, going back decades, where we said, look, we're forgetting our history. I quoted the one from 20 years ago, my father. The rise and the fall of a superpower. You think of all those warnings. What happens when a nation forgets its history? That's our identity. That's who we are. Warts and all, as they say. Here's a scene from the Capitol, Washington, D.C. This was because Nancy Pelosi said, hey, if there's any ties to the Confederacy, we've got to get rid of even the portraits inside the Capitol. Clip 5. With ties to the Confederacy, I guess. All of them, by the way, were Democrats, but leave that aside. Take them down. This is from George Orwell's book, 1984. He wrote, every record has been destroyed or falsified. Every book rewritten. Every picture has been repainted. Every statue and street building has been renamed. Every date has been altered. And the process is continuing day by day and minute by minute. History has stopped. Nothing exists except an endless present in which the party is always right. That's George Orwell, I think back in the 1940s, writing about a Marxist movement, a Marxist utopia. And that's how they do it. Nothing exists except an endless present in which the party is always right. Who will stand up to this mob? Who will stand up to it and preach the truth? Precious few. You keep thinking of that statement President Trump made three years ago. The Charlottesville press conference, when he said this, clip 1.
Excuse me, I saw the same pictures as you did. You had people in that group that were there to protest the taking down of, to them, a very, very important statue and the renaming of a park from Robert E. Lee to another name.
Well,
no, George Washington was a slave owner. Was George Washington a slave owner? So will George Washington now lose his status? Are we going to take down... Excuse me. Are we going to take down statues to George Washington? How about Thomas Jefferson? What do you think of Thomas Jefferson? You like him? Okay, good. Are we going to take down the statue? Because he was a major slave owner. Now, are we going to take down his statue? So you know what? It's fine. You're changing history. You're changing culture.
That's the president from August 2017. He was right. The reporters back then were saying, look, it's not about Jefferson or Washington. Stay focused here, Mr. President. These are legitimate gripes coming from people who want to see Stonewall Jackson brought down. We're not going after the founding fathers. Yes, they are. That's the real target here. And it's happening now because nobody stood up to them. None of these city officials have stood up to them. Far from it. De Blasio's right on board with it. Teddy Roosevelt, let's take it down. Why not? If you don't stand up to the mob, they will devour you. You cannot compromise with a Marxist mob. You have to stand up to it. Now, when you do, you're going to make yourself out to be a pretty big target. That's why they're going after President Trump the way they are. They despise him because he exposes them. And he did so on Saturday night in Tulsa. I see I'm running out of time. Hopefully I can get to a clip or two from that. But first, this is from American Greatness, talking about the Black Lives Matter movement, founded by three Marxist women. Alicia Garza, she's a self-proclaimed Marxist. This is the movement that these athletes, the Premier League soccer players, are kneeling down to. Shame on them. You don't even want to watch it anymore. Bowing down to it. They hide behind a nice sounding phrase. It sounds so, well, yeah, it sounds great. Black Lives Matter. Of course they do. But what about this movement? Three Marxist women? Oh, yes. One of these founders, three women, one of them says, the people, this is back in 2016, the people vowing to protect the Constitution are vowing to protect white supremacy and genocide. The Constitution is the supreme law of the land. If you don't protect that, what do you have left? You have nothing. You have no nation. You have Chaz. Do you think Chaz is upholding the Constitution of the United States? They see it as something that protects white supremacy. So it has to go. You have to pull it down. You have to destroy it. This is one of the founders of the Black Lives Matter movement. Another one of the three, Patrice Cullors, she's another founder, this article says, was trained in her activism by Eric Mann, a former Weather Underground member. Now, Patrice Cullors, she's been on the TV just this weekend. These are heroes on the left. And so Jake Tapper, CNN, they've got to bring forward these women. These self-proclaimed Marxists. And she was on CNN. Here's what she said over the weekend, clip six.
Well, hands down, Trump not only needs to not be in office in November, but he should resign now. Trump needs to be out of office. He is not fit for office. And so what we are going to push for is a move to get Trump out, while we're also going to continue to push and pressure Vice President Joe Biden around his policies and relationship to policing and criminalization. That's going to be important. But our goal is to get Trump out.
Our goal is to get Trump out. That's not controversial because Jake Tapper wants, that's his goal. That's Jim Acosta's goal. It's Don Lemon's goal. It's Chris Cuomo's goal. That's what they all want. And so here comes this self-proclaimed Marxist saying, we've got to get Trump out. We've got to knock him out. We've got to pull him down, just like we're pulling down the statues. Here's another video with this same woman that was uncovered, I believe, on Friday, clip seven.
I think of a lot of things. The first thing I think is that we actually do have an ideological frame. Myself and Alicia in particular are trained organizers. We are trained Marxists. We are super versed on sort of ideological theories. And I think that what we really try to do is build a movement that could be utilized by many, many black folk.
Super versed in ideological theories. She says we're a trained, she referred to herself and Alicia, the other girl, we're trained Marxists. And this is not controversial. This is just ho-hum as far as the major media are concerned. We're trained. We're trained in this Marxist ideology. We're building a Marxist utopia. And what do we need to do to build it? Well, we've got to get rid of the police. We've got to dismantle the capitalist system. We've got to destroy the patriarchy. We've got to destroy the family. And we've got to build this collectivist utopia society. Even if it means bringing chaos and disorder and burning and violence to our cities. If that brings down the system, if that destroys the founding fathers, their vision, the founding documents, then so be it. The sooner we can get to our Marxist utopia. And people are bowing down to this. It's not just that we're tolerating it. We're bowing down to it. And if you don't, in some cases, people are losing their jobs, their livelihoods. What other movement, what other political party in the United States says that if you don't agree with us, if you don't support us, then you're going to be destroyed? Imagine the reaction if a conservative group fired someone because that individual didn't agree with their conservative ideology. You can only imagine the outcry. Wait a second, this is a free country. You can't fire someone because of what they believe or don't believe. But this is the way they think. All of these anarchists hiding behind a slogan. That's what they're doing. And God says they should be exposed. Mr. Armstrong exposed them back in 1968 and 69. Hiding behind a slogan. Do you think they're out there on the streets of America because they want to improve America? Do you think they're out there on the streets pulling down statues because they want to bring the people of America together? Far from it. They want division so that they can conquer. Divide and conquer. This article, America Greatness, it says Black Lives Matter is not shy about what it wants to achieve. Its founders are very outspoken about it. That's the thing. Like I covered last week or the week before, you can go right to their website and figure this out. But if you do, you're risking your job. Ask Nigel Farage. It says here, what's important to understand about Black Lives Matter is that it should be viewed through the lens of critical race theory, which, put simply, constitutes Lenin's strategy of sowing discord. But instead of sowing it around class, it is applied here to the concept of race, formulated by Barack Obama's favorite Harvard professor, Derek Bell. Then he goes into talking about critical race theory. And he mentions Barack Obama there in passing, and that's important because it's Barack Obama. It was his administration, really, that gave this movement credibility. He was inviting the Black Lives Matter founders into the White House back in 2015 and 16. And people didn't seem too concerned about that. We wrote about it. He didn't go to Justice Scalia's funeral, but he sure made time for Black Lives Matter. These Marxists, in his own memoir, Barack Obama talked about how he liked hanging out with Marxist professors. That's not controversial with Jake Tapper. A communist infiltration and takeover is quite all right with so many of these commentators. They're the enemy of the United States, just as President Trump often says. They hate America. They hate the founding institutions. They hate the founders. Listen to this. This is from 1969. And what we're seeing today, a lot of it was happening on the streets of America in 1968. And this is what Mr. Armstrong said about it. Why are our people unable to recognize the communist line, the communist plan and conspiracy in college and university riots, in propaganda accusing police brutality, in Black Power, Black Panther, and other slogans? See, just update it to Black Lives Matter, police brutality. There are individual cases of that, as we've noted, and they should be dealt with, and they are dealt with. That's the thing. When you uphold the Constitution, you tear down the Constitution and you do away with the police, and you're left with anarchy. But here's Mr. Armstrong writing in 1969. Hiding behind these slogans, even in civil disobedience and nonviolent movements of protest which lead to violence. He wrote about it back then. And listen to this. Here's how he answers his own question. He's like, he's asking, why are we not able to see what's really behind this? Why are we not Why are we not able to see that this is a communist plan and conspiracy? He says the guiding hand in student revolt is the Communist Party. Many students, their emotions stirred and enraged to violence, do not themselves realize this. Yet actually, these young leaders of the New Left movement are going beyond the Communist Party. Their plan is to stir up college-age students to revolt first. And the teenage high school adolescents. It says, if they can corrupt and or win over tomorrow's students, they will gain control. And, of course, that's what we've seen today. The inmates are running the asylum. They've gained control. They've gained control of the universities, of popular culture, of Hollywood, of Silicon Valley, of big corporations, of the Democrat Party, of sports. Everything. There's just one stand left against it. And that would be the current occupant of the White House. Maybe you could add to that the so-called silent majority. Perhaps law enforcement. The military. Even though a lot of its leadership has been corrupted as well. But these are the targets. That's why they're such big targets. Eliminate all dissent. Anyone who disagrees needs to be canceled. My father wrote in 2016 about Black Lives Matter. He said the leaders of this movement are scrutinizing and magnifying the issue of racism among America's law enforcement officers for evil purposes. They are using it dishonestly to justify some terrifyingly dangerous behavior. They are stirring up emotion and anger, but none of it is intended to solve the problem. They want revolution and war. Boy, you read some of these, the 1969 quote from Mr. Armstrong, and then what my father said 4 years ago? Here, look at where we are now. My father said, President Obama is also a strong supporter of Black Lives Matter. He skipped the funeral of Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia on February 20, this is back in 2016, but made time earlier that week to meet with Black Lives Matter leaders. And then he quotes Barack Obama. They are much better organizers than I was when I was their age, and I'm confident that they're going to take America to new heights. Can you believe this? Bring them into the White House and then heap praises upon them. I'm confident that they're going to take America to new heights. They're excited about it. You hear from these Obama officials, John Kerry. He was on video last week. Let me see if I have time to play these two. This is clip 9.
How worried are you about the future of American political institutions? So I guess the two sides
are... Well, I'm worried. You know, I'm worried. Right now, our democracy is not working up to par. Very simple. Too much money in our system. Far too little sensitivity to the plight of a whole bunch of people who are living far more unequal lives. The disparity of wealth distribution in our country has grown worse and worse by the year. So we have major challenges. And if people don't have adequate access to the ballot, that's the stuff on which revolutions are built. If you begin to deny people the capacity of your democracy to work, even the founding fathers wrote in the Declaration of Independence and Constitution, we have an inherent right to challenge that. And I'm worried that increasingly people are disaffected.
That's John Kerry talking about, hey, if we don't all get a voice here, this is what revolutions are made of. The democracy isn't working. It's not working the way they want it to right now because they don't control the White House. They don't have a majority in the Senate. So they're taking to the streets. And then in the next clip, I don't have time to play it, but he says, you know, what encourages me is this incredible spontaneous reaction to the killing of George Floyd. They're just encouraged by this. The fact that people are taking to the streets and burning cities down. What did Barack Obama say in 2016? They're going to take America to new heights. No wonder the thugs are in the streets, taking over Seattle. They're receiving support, enthusiastic support, from political leaders, from the Democrats. Donald Trump's the only one. He's the lone bright spot, you could say, in a very dark, dark time for the nation, the United States of America. This is what he said at the rally on Saturday night. Move ahead to clip 15.
If Joe Biden were to become president, an emboldened left will launch a full-scale assault on American life. You know that. They'll expel anyone who disagrees with them. Look what happens when you disagree. You use a term that's perfect and they're not happy with it. They call you a racist. They call you a horrible person. They want to crush religious liberty. They don't want religion. Silence religious believers, indoctrinate your children with hateful and vicious lies about our country.
That's Saturday night in Tulsa. Anyone who disagrees, they've got to be silenced. President Trump sees it. He's the only one that stands up and resists against the mob. Here's a little bit more from Saturday night, clip 16.
Said last night they had a little breakout again. They ripped down a statue that was 110 years old, beautiful piece of art, in front of the police precinct with our radical left mayor watching on television. We're not happy. That's going to be very expensive for D.C. They're always looking for money. We need more money. We always need more money. And then they don't do the proper job. So it's not going to be good for Mayor Bowser. Mayor Bowser. They were heading over to the Jefferson Memorial recently, and they wanted to do damage to our great, beautiful Jefferson Memorial. Not going to happen. Don't worry about it. We have it surrounded with very strong people. The choice in 220 is very simple. Do you want to bow before the left-wing mob, or do you want to stand up tall and proud as Americans?
Are you going to bow down to it, or are you going to stand up tall as Americans? That's the choice. That's the choice. I think the Black Lives Matter movement, they're making this choice all the more clear. What a stark difference between the one side and the other. Both sides, as I said at the top, just digging in their heels. You want anarchy, or do you want what's left of law and order? He said here in clip 18 that this is the party of Abraham Lincoln, his party, the Republican Party. Listen to this, clip 18.
Republicans are the party of liberty, equality, and justice for all. We are the party of Abraham Lincoln, and we are the party of law and order.
That's what this election is coming down to, in his mind. Law and order or anarchy. Now, as my father's brought out before, many people in the United States are looking to this president as a sort of a savior, someone who can save the United States. And of course, there is a temporary salvation that's happening. America, the resurgence. But it's only temporary. You can see why that this Jeroboam administration is such a massive target in the eyes of the left. He must be destroyed. You heard it from the Black Lives Matter founder. We've got to take him out. Just like these statues. And yet there he is, the lone bright spot in America right now, standing up for law and order, standing up. Not bowing down to, but standing up against the mob. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the program, you can submit feedback to td@kpcg.com. www.thetrumpetdaily.fm. Thank you for joining us today, and we'll see you tomorrow.